Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and it is a privilege and a joy and a wonderful fellowship coming on Friday. There's another word. I can't think of what it is. However, I love seeing your numbers pop up as a part of the program, and that's such a sign of your faithfulness and your diligence in seeking our Savior. And so I rejoice in that. I rejoice in our Friday Fellowship of Learners. It has been an immense blessing to me. This is our anniversary month, and it is starting off with a bang and with a finish, because as we were been journeying through the breakthrough for chosen people, a breakthrough to abundance for chosen people, and we are a chosen and a peculiar people. We've come to the end of the secrets of the vine. We have been looking at probably a foundational scripture for identifying the elements of a walk and journey with Christ as his disciples, going through things that we have definitely heard before, we've been exposed to before, and yet giving us another insight, another perspective on them of Christ's intent for sharing this particular illustration at the end of his a journey with the disciples before going to the cross, giving them this very, very powerful and a very important time of communication by presenting to them this illustration of the vine, the branch, and the vine dresser and the fruit. And so as we come to a close of the book, we're going to today look at our Bible study guide and look at some of the challenges that were presented to us. But first, I want to read a section from the a devotional. This is a section from the devotional to Secrets of the Vine, and it talks about, are you off balance? And the foundational scripture is Philippians 3 and 8 and 13 and 14. And it says, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One second, please. So as we look at that, someone can get it in a different version for me and read it, something like the Voice or the Passion version. We like looking at it in different versions because it sometimes gives you a different insight a different perspective of the Word of God. So does anybody have that for me now? I can probably get
this. Yes, hold on.
Okay, thank you.
It's
and good morning.
Philippians 3.
Yes, and 8.
And Philippians 3, 8. He says, okay, let's see, 7, 8 says, which version you have? Okay, and more so, I am now realized that all I gained and thought was important was nothing but yesterday's garbage compared to knowing the anointed Jesus, my Lord. For him, I have thrown everything aside. This is nothing but a pile of waste so that I may gain him. That's the 8th verse. And then 14 and 15.
13
and
14.
And this is in verse 13, Bible. And
oh, good.
14, 15,
13.
I am bringing toward the only goal that counts, to cross the line, to win the prize, and to hear God call to resurrection, life found exclusively in Jesus the Anointed. All of us who are mature might to think the same way about these matters. If you have a different attitude, then God will reveal this to you as well.
Amen. So what we're looking at.
And then
so
now let's hold on to what we have been shown and keep in step with these teachings.
Amen. So that is going to lead us to two things. One, the final lesson from Secrets of the Vine, and I'm going to read the devotional for that particular day, and also for our next pursuit, because we'll be through today. We can review next week if you like, and then the following week is the conference, and then that following week, the last week in August is when we will pick up in our new book, okay? And I'll tell you the book in a little bit, all right? But just remember that phrase from that scripture of Philippians 14.
Philippians.
Up all of God in Christ Jesus, that I may gain Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And see where we're going with this. And one of the things, and I'll just share that up front now, that I beseech, teach the Lord. Lord, I don't know, you know, what it should be our next study. Where should we go from here? And one of the desires of my heart, honestly, was to see you guys thrive in your pursuit of God and not feel really weighted down, or this person wants this. Over here, I got to do that. Then I got to read this book, and I got to do that. So some that are going through ordination, some that are involved in the experience, some that are involved in all of those things, and the upcoming conference, those that are involved in the weekly studies and readings and the different things that we're doing, and just wanting to be able to not add another thing, but rather include something that will assist us in all of those things that we are signed up to do. And so, actually, I'll just tell you. So the next book is Christ in Crisis. Yay! Okay. By Jim Willis, I do believe. Let me make sure that's his name. And so, it is a way of combining everything that we're doing currently, everything that we are involved in, and the basis of all things, just as Paul said here, is the life of Jesus Christ. And so to see him in those things that we are undertaking and experiencing now is a benefit to the journey that we are in. And so this is why I believe the Lord, shared the fact that our next book will be Christ in Crisis, and it's Reclaiming Jesus in a Time of Fear, Hate, and Violence. It is by Jim Wallace, Wallis. It is on Audible. It is the Kindle book, so you can read it, you can listen to it. It has all of the different avenues of that you can use to study it. And I believe that that is one of the things that one of the leaders, I believe it was Elder Arlette, shared with the strategy meeting, this particular book. And so we're definitely focusing on Christ in Crisis, at least up to November and actually beyond, because we are establishing in us a bivouac. I hope that's the right word, Elder Deborah. You know, but a fortress, a line of defense. You know, we're building this line of defense. We're building this strategy to go forth in prophetically leading today from the future. You know, and the things around us have already identified themselves in the form of hate and violence and oppression. And so because of that, we have to be, as they use this word, relevant. And sometimes in order to be relevant, you have to go back to your roots. And I'm even reminded that one of the first studies that came forth from Labors for Christ, even before it was born, was return to your first love. It was one of the things that God shared with John in Revelation. It is something that we have been, I won't say commanded to do. We've been warned to not do it. So we must return. And sometimes it doesn't mean that we have physically left him, but we have spiritually not kept up with him and included him in what we are doing and included his teaching. And this is what he was telling his disciples on that day that he shared the John 15 scripture. Was you, in order to be relevant, you're going to need to have an understanding of this process that you are in. And it will empower you because you will understand the elements that are at work with you. And you will understand actually the end from the beginning. Because I'm telling you now, you abide in me, you can ask what you will, and my Father will give it to you. That is the greatest weaponry arsenal that you can have when you go forth to establish the truth of God in the earth. And so I'm really excited about getting that book. I hope to have it audibly. Well, I have it audibly now. I've got to find it. And in my hand tomorrow. And yes, Evangelist Narvella, you have your copy. And so we're going to go forth. I'm really excited about that. So we're going to look now, before we go too far, into close out, really, our journey through the secrets of the vine. And I pray that each person remembers each one of the three secrets that were revealed of the vine and what it looks like and why it is the way it is. I encourage you to probably, if you can, make a copy of that that graph in your book that relates to discipline and pruning and the different elements that you'll experience in them so that you can understand what your strategy should look like. The diagram is on page 66 of your book, Secrets of the Vine, the issues that we will face and why and what the outcome should be according to what God wants to do in our life. And so I do encourage you to make that a part of your daily journaling, your daily time of your daily time that's set aside for God. I'm going to read, Are You Off Balance? The author says, when I was first learning about pruning, I made a point of asking Christian leaders I admired, have you been pruned much in your life? Without exception or hesitation, they would each say yes. Then they would slip into a reflective mode. Often tears would come. Now I understand. When God prunes, he reaches into the center of our being and severs something. He cuts out a deeply held assumption or value, a much defended inalienable right, and a carefully protected priority or activity. Pruning changes people. Have you noticed? Well-pruned believers often think differently about things. They carry themselves differently. They are so distinctly single-minded that they often seem oddly out of balance. The truth is, most people I know who are extremely fruitful are off balance in the minds of men, and they don't want to get in balance. The pleasure of seeing God at work through them has become too pleasurable for them to want other pleasures. I've never heard one of these indirect, redirected Christians say, oh, I wish I could go back to the good old days. No. Instead, they look for more ways to proactively participate in what God is doing. Like Olympic athletes, they're personally motivated to do all their coach asks and then some. And he says, today I encourage you to do the same. He shares with us an approach that was helpful for him. And one of the things I just love about God's timing, we got to this place during Olympics, the Tokyo Olympics, okay. And a lot of people are watching, admiring the result of hard work and constant pursuing this activity, and they're doing it for the gold. They may get the bronze and the silver, but their purpose is the goal. They are pressing toward the goal, the prize of their particular activity, and they have sacrificed their life for it. They have given up so much for it, and they are so determined, and really, they're very admirable. When we watch them, I'm sometimes amazed at the way they glide through the things they do and not having even a concept of what their training must look like, what the sacrifices they make. Well, it's no different from us. And so when we see that as it relates to our activity in the kingdom of God, in pursuing the goal, for God, pursuing, and our goal is much fruit of the glory of God, because this is what he desires. So it says he reads through a year's work of entry from his spiritual journal. And if you haven't been keeping one, spend time writing about your personal journal, especially about any struggles that show growth or a desire for it. Ask God to show you where he's trying to bring about change in your priorities or your behavior. And that first spiritual discipline exercise. I realized there was a time in the very beginning of my really journey to abundance. In that season, included writing. I wrote daily. And when I would move or come across a journal, and sometimes if you just sit down and just read through the pages of what happened, it really does take you to a place where you are strengthening your resolve because you see the results of your race, of your effort, of the things that you have done or the things that you have stopped doing and or the things that you have desired to be in your life from God. And so this journal, and we all always are telling you to keep a journal, write it down, da-da-da, and I always start one January, and by January 15th, it's blank because it's like something that it really takes discipline to set that time aside because it's a very important exercise to strengthen our faith and to see to allow the Lord to clarify our sight in the spirit realm. That's what writing in a journey does. It clarifies your sight because you can see what he did, and he did it with you. And sometimes when you're looking at it, it's like, wow, that's like it happened to a different person. And it did, because the person it happened to is no longer that person anymore. But because it happened, that person has changed. And that's that thing of you never want to go back. No, I don't want the good old days. Absolutely not. You know, you want this joy of where you are now with whatever it may bring, because you are pressing toward the abundance for God, because that's what he wants us to do. And so, and then it becomes a very simple thing. So as you read this, I love it. He sat down. That means he had to carve out time. He had to rearrange his schedule. He had to schedule in and make this a priority to read through a journal for a year of activity. Not, I'll read a couple of days now and I come back and I read. No, you sit down and you dedicate that time to him. And then if you don't have one, which is what he says in the next, write a statement for each month, if possible, that shows what you learned and denotes any major changes or any major progress. Do you see strong evidence of having produced lasting fruitfulness for God, or do your achievements somehow show less? And when they show less, it's like a sadness in our hearts because we see where more could have been done and we didn't do it. But we are given an opportunity now to do that. There's come a time when we stand before God in the eternal, and that same thing may come upon the hearts of some people who chose to just be bench members and did not want to pursue anything further than some fruit. They didn't make an effort to surrender or to cooperate or to even to seek what God wanted to do in their lives so that they could produce much fruit, because this fruit is what we use to honor him. So as we present them to him, it's just like if you go somewhere and everybody is to bring a gift and you go, oh, yeah, I forgot to bring it. Oh, let me just stop at Walgreens and I'll pick up a gift card, and I'll give them a gift card. And then someone else comes in with something that's intricately made specifically for that person. You can see the detail took thought and creativity. The detail expressed the kind of relationship they have with their person because they understand what it is. I'm thinking of right now, Apostle's tennis shoes. You know, I can buy a pair of shoes. But to create that gift for her that spoke to of her in every inch of it, whether it was her name, whether it was the logo of the ministry, whether it was the bling, whether it was the color, everything spoke to, I have an intimate relationship with the apostle, and I know what she loves, and I want to make her happy. I want to see her smile at my gift. And she got lots of smiles. And not only did she smile, what she did was she then it was a prize. And she showed people, see what I've gotten. See what they've done to me. See the expression of love that I've received. And that's what God wants to do with us. But is our basket going to have two or three little withered up fruit in there? Or is it going to be almost full? You know, well, you know, you did do something. Okay. But how would it make him feel if the basket you bring, you need someone to help you carry? Because the fruits are so huge and abundant and beautiful and it's overflowing. It's that issue or that illustration with Christ and his disciples when they were fishing for fish and they hadn't caught him. And he said, do you have any fish? And he said, no, we've been at this all night. We don't have nothing. How does that make it fun? He said, well, you know what? Put it on the other side. So when they put it on the other side and they saw the bounty that they got, they were so impressed to show it to him because that was their offering to him. Look, we did what you said, and look what we got. They were excited about it, and they were transformed by it because they understood in obedience to the voice of God in our life, it will produce something that brings us not a pride in flesh, but a satisfaction in relationship, because it will properly express the love that we have for him. And sometimes when you look at, you know, the love that you have, just like it's that gift between a gift certificate, not a gift certificate, a gift card. And some people say they want a gift card. But, you know, and that's a whole nother thing. I don't want to get into that. However, when you look at that gift card, do you really wish you had done more? You know, are you justified? Say, well, you know what? I gave it to them, and that way they can go and do and get whatever they want. Well, chances are they could do that anyway. They got money. They can go get whatever they want. But the whole purpose of a gift sometimes, and I know, and I'm not saying if you gave a gift card, it's bad. Do not feel that way. Because some people want you to give a gift card, and that's a whole nother lesson, because sometimes people feel you can't please them. So just give me what I ask you for, and I'll do what I want to do. That is not a good place to be in. Sometimes they may have a goal for something that they want to do, and so, you know, they need assistance in getting there, or, you know, and they want you to be a part of it. So there's a lot of different, you know, scenarios. But just trying to get us a visual of the joy of giving that abundance to God and having it and desiring it. And so it says, so each month write a statement, one statement. That's only 30. That's only 12 a year, one statement that shows what you learned or denoted from any major progress. Do you see strong evidence of having produced lasting fruitfulness for God? So some gifts are great, but you use them right up because they don't last. But some last forever because it's a part of the heart that was released through that gift that will always stand. And so I intended to write down those moments of, and maybe wasn't a statement a month, and I didn't have a journal that I kept. Anyway, to document these major shifts or changes or pruning, these seasons of pruning. And so when I first started with it, you know, it was maybe two or three times. But then the more I sat and I let the Holy Spirit show me, there were numerous times. And with each one, something truly major shifted in my thinking. You know, and that in effect, that then affected what I did. And I did seem off balance to some people that I was in relationship with because it was different. It was such a difference, they couldn't identify it. And then it says, ask yourself, what have I been doing that I no longer need to do? What less important thing do I do that someone else can do? Now, that was a hard one because when we say, when the author says less important, that's relative. And it's not like I'm doing this and now it's not important to me, so I'm going to give it to somebody else. No, that is not what this is saying. And so that is not the mindset that we have to have when we stop to analyze and to fulfill this particular spiritual activity. But rather, it's in God's view for you in this season. So it's multifaceted, has to be looked at. All the elements have to be looked at. Or is it something that was assigned to you and maybe someone else has been trained or prepared to do that, and it's the time for a shift. A lot of times people don't want to shift positions because they figure, you know, I don't want to give up, you know, this place that I have that I've become familiar with. I do it really good, you know, because at this point or at some point we go from relying on our anointing from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to thinking that we did this. This is, you know, who I am. But it is always who you are with what he has given you. And we don't want to, that's that thing with the hands, one, you know, raising up to Christ and then one going on and leaving him because we feel, I got this. It says, identify the top three or five things outside of your family commitment that you do which have the most impact for God's kingdom. Ask yourself how you could rearrange your life to do more, to give more time to the top two than the bottom three. So you're listing five things, and you're looking at the two that's at the top and the three that's at the bottom. You know, and how do you balance? How do you prioritize? You prioritize by asking what gives the most impact for God's kingdom that he wants me to do. Ask yourself, how can I rearrange my life? Ask him, how can I rearrange my life? Oftentimes, he will rearrange your life because he'll take it from you. He'll take it or put you in a position that you really, because he's pruning you, that is something you have to let go of. I love it when the author says he cuts out a deeply held assumption or value. He's cutting out a deeply held value, a much defended, inalienable right, and a carefully protected priority or activity. But he has to do that to change us so that we can reflect him. And so the next thing the author shares is set up a schedule for daily, weekly, and quarterly pruning review. I love that. We're doing a pruning review. Ask, what can I do now to cooperate with how God is trying to shape me for abundance? And we may say, well, how will I know if he's trying to shape me for abundance? That's when you go and look at this chart. It's on page 66, okay? The things that it's producing, the elements of it, you know, are how do you know it's happening? Well, it hurts. In both places, it hurts. So when you're hurting, you want to stop and say, and this is how you are cooperating with God and doing this quarterly pruning review. It hurts. So now I have to ask myself, this hurts. It's like, why is this happening? This is how you do this review. You're doing something wrong. It's discipline, or you're doing something right. And you may say, well, how will I know if I'm doing something wrong? Then that's when the scripture tells you, examine yourself according to the word of God, not according to people or people's definition or people's, sometimes they give us their, not agenda, but you know, their expectations or their standards, but do it according to what the Word of God says. And it says, what is your level of fruitfulness? So now you want to look, okay, have I produced fruit, lasting fruit for the kingdom of God? Is there fruit? Is there no fruit, some fruit, or is there much fruit? And then it's like, what is the vine dresser desiring? He desires fruit. And on the discipline, you're not doing, you're practicing something that must be removed just so you can start the fruit process, bearing process. Or is he pruning so that you are to produce more fruit? And it's like, what needs to go in this process? When I'm doing this quarterly pruning review, I have to ask myself, what needs to go? If I got pain, remember, that's what's happening, either discipline or pruning. And it's like, what needs to go? Is it sin? Then you go before the Lord, you repent, you allow the Holy Spirit to, what do you say, search your heart and reveal that which is not in harmony with God, and you repent from it? Or is it like, I don't see anything, he's not giving me anything, then is it self? So if it's pruning, then it's self that needs to be cut back so that you decrease, so that God may increase in your life. How should you feel? If it's discipline, you should feel sad and guilty. But if it's pruning, you have to feel trust. You really have to feel trust first, and then after the trust, you can feel relief. Okay, I'm good. I trust God. It hurts, okay? But this is something that he is requiring of me. And it says, what is the right response? If it's discipline, then repent. And that's what I love about God. You don't have to go through a whole bunch of stuff. You don't have to beat yourself and jump off a cliff and do five Hail Marys and, you know, and I'm not relating, you know, I'm not putting a dispersion of anybody. You know, the only activity you have to do is repent. It's between him and you. It's an intimate time. You're there. You see his face. And you don't believe, you know, that he is not pleased with what you're doing. And you repent. I'm not going to do that. I want to see his face smile on me. and the right, that's the right response. And then for discipline, and for pruning, the right response is, I let it go. God, I give you permission. You have my permission. Do what you will with me. And then when does this pain stop? It stops when we stop sinning. Or if it's pruning, whenever God has finished his work with us. And so during this quarterly pruning review, you need to jot down in your book, page 66, to do a quarterly or weekly or daily pruning review. One of the things that's shared in our lesson is the fact that one of the persons that was illustrated, that when they go to lay down at night, they review their day. They go through each step of the day and ask the Holy Spirit, if I've sinned, then it's at that point they see that sin as that day is replaying in their mind. They repent. You know, they don't just see it and go, ooh, I shouldn't have did that. No, God, that's wrong. That's against you. Your word says this. What do your words say about that sin? I need to put that word in my heart because I don't want to sin against you. I want my life to reflect your standards and your presence in my life. I want to be like Peter when they saw him standing and they realized he was unlearned and, you know, he wasn't polished and all of this, and he's standing there like this fisherman, and yet he was speaking with the oracles of God, and they said he must have been around. So in other words, he had his presence, was his presence in his proximity with Christ began to show on him through his conversation. He still didn't look like much. Okay, but they realized, oh, something is different about him. And that's because he had been in association, relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the best test example in the New Testament of someone apart from Jesus Christ who chose to live off balance for God is the Apostle Paul. During the course of his life, he set aside the pursuit of material comfort, safety, financial security, and public acclaim. It's as if on his journey across the Roman world, he discarded suitcase after suitcase of what had been good options. But by the time he wrote his last letter, he was down to only one suitcase. And that's when he says, "One thing I do, I press toward the prize, the goal for the prize of a high calling." So he has prioritized his activity. He has prioritized his thoughts and his attitude. And the only thing worth his time was pursuing the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. So this is why we need to know, what is that high calling of God in Jesus Christ? We know God is calling us to holiness, but what does it look like in Christ while we're walking through this world in this season, in this time, and in this century, and in this generation, and in this land, in this particular land? The only physical description we have of Paul comes from the second century. He was a man of little stature, partly bald, with crooked legs. Can you imagine? But in today's passage, I see the real Paul. I see an Olympic runner trained and focused and desperate for one thing, to break the tape at the finish line. He's streaking down the final stretch, straining to hurl his body across the finish line. Maybe oddly off balance, but perfectly prepared to win. So when you can see those runners, when they come to that line, and we're talking about a short, half ball with crooked legs. This is what he looked like on the outside. But when you saw him, you saw a Olympic trained, focused runner who was desperate for one thing. He was not stopping until he broke that tape, which is that thing at the end of the finish line. This is my friend, as we close this week's study of pruning, I hope that you too fully embrace God's work of pruning in your life. Believe his promise of greater things to come and run for the prize. He said, run for that prize. I say, run for his prize, the prize that God has. Sometimes we do a lot of money. And so the Vineyard Journal to write is the most important thing I've learned about God this week was you fill in the blank. The most helpful insight I learned about pruning was you fill in the blank. So what is the most important thing you've learned about God this week? And what helpful insight about the pruning process have you learned? So in First Corinthians 9:24-25, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain, and everyone competes for the prize is tempered all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So that is our closing, I think, insight. To prepare spiritual discipline, routine, or regime, or, and it's not really that, it's spiritual discipline lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. And maybe you will alter your time and the way you choose to come up with it. One good resource is the spiritual discipline book. They have a new revised version of it. Very, very powerful, helpful study in just spiritual discipline. It's a handbook, practices that transform us. So they present practices. They present situations and questions that we reflect on and spiritual exercises to do. They present resources of self-care. They give you resources of the things that we should read. I know one of the questions for the candidates is, you know, how many books do you read a month? You know, how many spiritual books do you read a month that really aid you in where you're going and what you want to do? Anybody, any athlete or anybody training for anything must know the elements. They have to learn the elements, the ins and outs, the tips. They must learn how to train. And often that is something that we fail to do. We don't really train. We just react or we respond in a season to accomplish a goal as opposed to train to press towards the prize of the goal. Okay? So I've been talking for a while. It is up to you. It is open to you. Insights, thoughts, concerns, values, can you answer any of those reflection questions? What have you learned about that question?
Oh, yeah. The combination of what we're doing today. And Matthew 5 and 3 is a message version here. This last when you're at the end of your rope, with less of you, there is more of God and his rule. And so just understanding, you would talk about that 5, but receiving that anointing of tenacity to be persistent in maintaining and seeking and moving forward and not being distracted. And so you were talking about that 5 and the fear of high heat. And so I was just in listening to that and reflecting on this, just learning that in this process, he really will give us the anointing of tenacity so that we can remain focused and not distracted because Rebecca says that the sovereign Lord is my strength and he makes me sure-footed as his ear and I am able to tread upon the heights, but only because he does it. So this understanding that he is of the God who arms us to be strengthened and to make our way perfect. And so it's all on him. And he actually releases a portion of him on us so that we can be more like him.
Amen. 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 Good morning, Overture.
Yeah.
How are you? And those on the line. Thank you for that. Excuse me. Thank you for that, Apostle, because I was just getting ready to say that as you were talking about the journaling, how difficult for me, you know, that really is. I write all the time, and to me it's such a, I don't know, dichotomy because I write all the time. But the discipline of putting it in one place, you know, I'm often amazed at something I'll run across. But, you know, I know that is so counterproductive because no matter what I think the effectiveness of this writing is, if I can't put my hands on it, you know, if it can't be used as a tool, even though it's been given as a resource, because I really don't, you know, I'm talking about things that don't seem to come from me. You know, God will be speaking in a moment, write it down on the back of a napkin, on the back of an envelope, stick it in a book or something like that. And it can be years later, you know, come and look at it. And that's not being a good steward of what God gives us. And as you were saying that, I was really, really convicted thinking, okay, Lord, I started one this year. You know what I mean? I started a journal this year. And it just made me think of all of the things that God has not only given me, but I'm sure there are other people in the same situation. Not that that makes me any less guilty, but the whole idea of the tenacity to move forward and with the whole discipline piece. Anyway, that just fit right in there, and I needed to hear the God word before my word, just as a confirmation. Like, okay, idiot. You know, I mean, I'm talking about me now. You know, that okay, you say this now. Before you say this again, you know, I'm going to let the apostle say what you need. That was a very awesome moment for me. But when you were talking about pivoting to the spiritual disciplines, one thing, and when I picked up this new revised version, that every day I have to take a walk with the client that I work with, and it's a very slow walk. And it is very hard to walk that slow. You'd just be surprised if there's no reason for you medically to be walking so slow. It's very difficult to walk slow and be balanced, you know, and not be kind of rocking all over the place. I found out that that's why older gentlemen, a lot of times you see in other countries, walk with their hands behind their back, clasping their hands behind their back, because it allows you to steady yourself. Anyway, I just learned that from us falling into each other, you know, 100 times this spring and summer outside walking. But that is just, you know, anecdotal. But anyway, the whole thing, the centering prayer or the breath prayer, to just, and I have to remind myself, because sometimes I'm just idle. We don't talk during our walks. So sometimes I'm just idle and not thinking about anything. But, you know, I've been trying to pull myself in to be thinking, this is a time for a centering prayer. This is a time for a prayer for leadership, a prayer for the family. You know, it's in my prayer language. Yeah. I mean, so I'm just saying that because there are little ways we can put it in without it being some kind of drastic change to what we do, things we do all the time, just being cognizant of change a little bit of this, change a little bit of, you know, a little bit of that. Yeah. And just as God was giving me something, it's like, okay, you need to be writing that down because it's something I want to share with you. But it's like, I didn't. I'm, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
just,
right.
You know what? The pleasures of life, and I'm saying pleasures of life, that I'm sitting here in a rocking chair. And then I'm thinking about, like, okay, if God is giving you something, why be so lazy to not walk back upstairs and get a piece of paper and write it down because it is significant? I just think that there's so many moments like that we just miss. And one last thing, and I'm going to shut up because I know I can go.
When you were talking about
the whole idea of the time for transition and the time for change and being willing to make a change. And, you know, I know for me sometimes that can be just very, very difficult, you know. But sometimes you just know. It's like, okay, it's just time, you know. And I find myself at that crossroads in some things. And it is, it's something, you know. But the only way I got to that place was because it was time for somebody else, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I never really considered, you know, maybe what that meant for them. You know, in the transition. Anyway, that just brought up some emotions about some things.
Amen.
That's all.
And that's what it's supposed to do. But no, but you're right. It's supposed to stir us up because it's a part of our passion, our soul. This matters.
You know, and even with the pruning. You know, like you talk about the pruning. Sometimes things have to be cut away so that other things can come. The only way they can come for you and, you know, you and other people. You know, it's the obedience of both people. Sometimes folks stepping up and not feeling like they're ready or, you know, that this is the time. And one last thing on the whole journaling thing, I think that I know for me sometimes the apprehension is, and this probably has, and I'm saying it because it just came up in my head, some kind of root of pride in that all I need to do is just do it. I don't necessarily have to be going in the line of questioning from somebody else, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit is saying the questioning is there for those people who don't have the discipline to just do it. So it's a circular argument. I'm just saying, you know, God is kind of speaking to me at the same time that I'm kind of speaking to you. I don't even know if that's making any sense. But the whole, when you talked about just journaling, if we just something a day, something happens every day. You know, many of those things I think we just forget. But, you know, God speaks and is active and is amazing
right.
in just the little insignificant things of life. And if we just, you know, dare jot down what this day's thing was, you know, to make it tangible. Sometimes I think it's like, ooh, God, do I want to go back and read it? You know, you ever go back and read something and it brings chills to you? You're
yeah.
like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But, you know, the beauty of that is that was the past, you know.
Yeah.
And it just proves him faithful that he never leaves us, you know, or forsakes
That's
us,
true.
You know, regardless of what's going on. And, you know, so many things that seem like, God, I don't know how I made it through that. It didn't even seem possible. Now it's like, man, I can barely remember the actual circumstances around that, you know, and it seemed, you know, life-altering. But anyway, I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
No, you're not. I mean, I think you bring us some very, very powerful insights. I was reminded when you were speaking of the fact of the consecration for the candidates. You were just asked to write a sentence with 12 words. That's it. Sometimes you don't have to write a dissertation. Just 12 words that are focused and that have been down, you know, put in you. Just 12 words. 12 words. You know, so he doesn't ask more of us. We give more time to frivolous stuff than we do to him. Okay, I'm going to go. Anybody else? Insight. This dude.
It's a trick of the enemy over here. It's a trick of the enemy that we get more involved in what we see other people doing.
Yeah.
Because when you start to write, and I think because the word, you know, it's the living word, you know, and the written word, when we start to write, it's like the Holy Spirit will move. You know, I think it's,
yeah, he does.
I mean,
yes,
I think it's a fear. I'll put it this way in me. And I've never said that because I never thought that. That's never come up. When I say fear, not afraid of writing, but afraid because once you sit down, it'll start going. That's why all of the grief work is writing. You know what I mean? Everything says, no matter whether the person is dead, no matter whether you have the opportunity to see them again, even if they are alive, when you write it down, start from the beginning, talk to an empty chair, that it is just as cathartic as saying it out, because your spirit man, you know, somehow links up with your soul man and all of those emotions and idiosyncrasies and, you know, all of those things just start to come out on paper. And I think that that is a trick of the enemy to not let us release that. And this is a time for scribes, for those people who have that gift for spiritual things as well as for us regular, ordinary people, that God will do some supernatural healing. You know, when you write, you know, to that parent, to that spouse, to that, you know, person that you betrayed or whatever the case may be, and you didn't get a chance to really heal from that, you know, write them a letter. It is an incredible therapy. It, you know, that's another aside, but. You know, it's journaling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's wonderful because of the fact that this is the time of the scribes. And there's a reason for that. There is truly, truly a reason for that. Anybody else? Insights, inspirations, revelations? I see y'all on the line.
Just start talking out loud.
Go ahead, Evangelist. Amen. Amen. All right. It is, oh, look, 10 o'clock on the head. So if there be nothing else, again, our next book is Christ in Crisis by Jim, who did I say it was? That's the man's name. I think it's Wallace, W-A-L-L-I-S. Where's his name? W-A-L-L-I-S, Jim, Christ in Crisis, Reclaiming Jesus in a Time of Fear, Hate, and Violence. All right. All right.
Amen.
Be blessed. Amen.
Are we starting that next week, the week after the conference? Are we starting that next week?
No, we'll start it the week after the conference. Hopefully, you know,
okay.
if you have it, we'll do like the introduction, you know, but we won't get into the meat of the book until after the conference.
Oh. Okay, thank you.
Okay. No problemo. All right. With my grandson.
So, excuse, Overseer?
Yes, ma'am.
Overseer? This is Charlotte.
Yes.
So can you text it to me?
Yes, I will. I surely will. All righty.
Okay.
Now,
so,
do you have,
but not this,
do you have Audible?
Yes.
Pardon?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, this number here is the landline, so the 802, the 773-802 is the cell.
Okay, wait now. Whoa. Let me write that down. What is the cell?
773-802-8742.
Okie dokie. On its way.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh,
thank
you're welcome.
Well, did you just say woo woo woo?
Huh?
Okay. God bless. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yes, I said whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. Anyhow, but I got it now. Okay. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Any other questions, comments, insights? All right. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember all of your different meetings that each one has to go to for whatever they need to go to. This is First Friday in August. I believe laborers are up in charge of stuff. So you may want to drive by and check them out in the parking lot. Ready? All right. Be blessed. And
God
register
bless.
For the conference. Deadline is the 8th. Register for the conference. Amen. Amen. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I don't like that. Okay. All righty then.